Maybe, baby, I'll have you. Maybe, baby, you'll be true. Maybe, baby, I'll have you for me. It's funny, honey, you don't care. You never listen to my prayer. Maybe, baby, you will love me someday.
Well, you oh, yeah. are the one. Little Buddy Holly for you. Remember him? One of the greats. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, October the 13th already. Holy Toledo, the month is flying by. We will be talking in a few minutes with Father Robert Sirico of the Action Institute, and we're going to talk about the prospect of Judge Amy Coney Barrett being questioned about her Catholicism during today's hearings for the Supreme Court. So stay tuned for that. And Joe Biden turns into a gaffe machine again yesterday while Donald Trump wows them in Sanford, Florida. We are going to talk about all that and more with the proprietor of the barber pole a little bit later in the show, Andrew Soraci, Master Barber. I hope you'll stay tuned for that as well. And the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control have some negative thoughts about wearing masks and lockdowns. We're going to take a look at it. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we are going to give you the top 10 best places to live in America this year, 2020. And I think you'll be surprised at some of the answers. By the way, we are sponsored here at Freedom Works in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, for the best place to go for a haircut in Tampa Bay, I am telling you, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's in the Overcast Plaza, just north, of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. But you got to call first, 727-733-3773. And don't forget, every morning, start your day with Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, they will start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment, a little bit of laughs, some sports, all the good things. Good Morning Clearwater. Well, as we talk, Amy Coney Barrett is being questioned today by the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator Dianne Feinstein has been trying to get her to open up about abortion, gun rights, but she's pretty much being careful about that. You know, if she's going to be deciding on cases, she can't go and suggest what she's going to decide. First of all, she doesn't have all the facts in front of her. Secondly, it would be it'd be the wrong thing to do. So it's kind of a little bit of verbal swordplay going on right now. Yesterday was the first day of the hearings, and the committee chairman, Lindsey Graham, ended the day with a warning to Ms. Barrett about the tough road that lies ahead. During yesterday's hearing, she just listened mainly while committee members read speeches, their opening remarks. No back and forth, but today they're really getting into it. And she's gone through this kind of process before, being an appellate judge. In fact, she was being questioned by Dianne Feinstein when she was running in the circuit court for one of the judicial appointments. And at that time, Dianne Feinstein wondered about the dogma of Amy Coney Barrett's faith getting in the way of objectivity. Now, that's something we're going to talk about in a few minutes with Father Sirico. But, you know, that whole idea of religion, for some reason, looms large. You would think that that's not a big issue anymore because we've had so many Catholics and Jewish people. And Protestants, of course. on the Supreme Court, you'd think that that issue would be gone. But it's mainly because of the abortion situation. Catholics, by if they are good Catholics, pretty much, you know, will have to abide or do abide by the idea that abortion is a murder of an unborn child. And so the liberals on the court are very worried that Amy Coney Barrett is going to help erase Roe versus Wade. I'm not so sure she will. In our opinion here, it should be remanded back to the states. It's not a federal issue. Every state should have perhaps a little bit more direct input into it. Although there is a right to life that we read in the Declaration of Independence. Apparently it doesn't apply to those about to be born. But anyway, they continue on. And I guess she's going to be there for at least a few more days. I guess at least until Thursday. It's pretty much already decided she's going to be selected to the Supreme Court. They've counted the votes. And so this is more of a, I guess, more show, you know, a dog and pony show for everybody. Well, how close are we now? What are we, just a few weeks away from the November 3rd election? And two Floridian officials are saying that you may not get the final results from the Sunshine State on election night this year. That's what I was worried about. Here is Marion County Supervisor of Elections, Wesley Wilcox. We want to ensure that everything that we produce and everything that we publish is 100% accurate. We do not have the opportunity to be wrong. And so they're saying you may have to wait a few days. Mark Early, who is a Leon County Supervisor of Elections, held a conference call with reporters yesterday about the dangers of reporting incorrect info. So I wonder how long it will take before we really find out what the final results will be. Maybe taking a little bit of time, maybe too much time. People don't want to wait around too long. Here in Florida, we remember Bush versus Gore. How long did that go? That went close to 3 or 4 weeks, didn't it, before they finally figured all of that out? I can't remember now. But it was a long time, and it was driving a lot of people crazy. It really was. All righty, we are going to take our break, and when we come back, Father Robert Sirico. Dun, dun, dun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday, October the 13th. Thank you very much for joining us, and we're delighted to have back Father Robert Sirico. He is president of the Action Institute, recently penning a piece, an opinion piece, in the Dallas Morning News, that there should be no religious test for the Supreme Court. Father Sirico, welcome back.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
By the way, it's the Action Institute, though.
You know, you're right. But it is Action, but you're right. I mispronounced it.
No, it's Acton. Acton Institute. No, Acton.com.
No, I know it is. What I'm saying is you guys have a lot of action, but I did mispronounce it.
I hope so.
I apologize.
More needed now than ever.
I apologize for that. Acton. So we've got, as we speak, Amy Coney Barrett going through her real first day, I guess, of questions. And she has just concluded with Dianne Feinstein. And in your opinion piece, you do, in fact, talk about the last time these two had a discussion before the cameras. And that was when she was when Amy Coney Barrett was being appointed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And that was about 3 years ago.
That's what she serves in right now.
I'm sorry?
If I'm not mistaken, that's what she serves in right now.
That is correct. She is, indeed, that's where she serves. At the time, she was, of course, going through the nominating the process there. But Dianne Feinstein did indeed bring up the situation of religion when she says, I think in your case, when you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you, as in your Catholicism may influence important cases like Roe versus Wade. Your thoughts on that?
I think I've lost somebody. Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, I am so sorry, Father. Did you, anyway, did you hear what I just asked
you? Yes, I heard most of what you said. You know, by the way, that phrase, the dogma lives loudly inside of you, has been made into a coffee cup.
I believe so. I'm sure.
A lot of believing Catholics really like that. I mean,
yes.
Really, what did Senator Feinstein say at the time? She was saying that you believe what you profess to believe. That's what she was saying. You believe what you profess to believe. The dogma lives loudly inside of you. The question that she was really trying to get to is, are you a theocrat? Are you going to take church law and dogma and apply it as constitutional law, which, of course, Judge Barrett would say no. Any decent Catholic, any decent, I think, Christian legislator knows the difference between that. We have God and Caesar. Here's the two interesting points here. One is, now, I didn't see all of the senator's questioning of the judge this morning, but from what I could tell, religion didn't come up. And if that's correct, and if this whole hearing goes through without any direct attacks like the last one, then I think this is a loud capitulation to the fact that they were very mistaken in their tactics. They realized they made a mistake the last time. The second thing that we need to keep in mind here is, it's not so much that Senator Feinstein and the whole ilk that she represents is anti-religion. It's anti-conservative religion, or it's anti-traditional religion. Because if you ask Joe Biden, does the dogma live loudly inside of you, isn't that in effect what he's saying when he says, I'm a devout Catholic?
Yes.
Or Pelosi? let's just be honest about what we're doing here. We don't want you to be on the Supreme Court because we think you have a different philosophical approach to these questions than we do. And, well, that's what's called democracy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's surprising that, as I said before you came on, we've had Catholics, we've had Jewish people, obviously Protestants, that have been on the Supreme Court for all of these years. And you would think that the idea of the dogma of your religion and the ability to separate your religious beliefs and render unto Caesar what indeed belongs to Caesar, is something that every judge already realizes. And certainly if they make it to the Supreme Court hearing, they got to realize it.
There are all kinds of things that inspire people. You know, I mean, obviously Justice Ginsburg was inspired by her Jewish faith. She received awards in Israel for this. People may be inspired by a beautiful garden. It doesn't mean that they're going to legislate only in favor of gardens, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really a telling moment, I think, if people just look at this objectively. If I might say, too, with regard to abortion and Catholic belief, our belief on the illegitimacy of abortion is not predicated on a dogma defined or promulgated by a pope. It's based on the science of the matter, that human life comes into existence at the first moment of conception. If we want to have a debate about that, then fine. But that's a scientific debate. That's an empirical debate. It's not a philosophical or theological debate.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, it's interesting. Most pro-choicers, I guess, do not want to engage in a real debate about that. They want to talk past it, don't they? Because they know they're going to lose the argument if you use logic and science.
When was the last time you heard a debate on TV for all of the division over the abortion question, right? I mean, there's a major thing in elections and judicial appointments, all the rest of it. When was the last time you heard a debate in public about abortion itself rather than the politics of it?
I can't remember.
I can't either.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's interesting, and I think this applies to other things as well, but abortion is a perfect example. A lot of people, left-leaning, progressive, I guess you might say, will not engage in the actual debate of the issue. I remember years ago there was a debate between people that professed to believe in socialism versus people that professed to believe in capitalism. Oh, God, some years back. And it was amazing how much the capitalists relied on fact and data. The socialists relied on emotion and no data.
I mean, and that's what you're seeing go on here with all of these photos and stories of people who could be negatively affected by the Affordable Care Act's repeal. All of that kind of thing. Here's what would be a very interesting scenario. Let's say Justice or Judge Barrett was not a Catholic. Let's say she was a Jewish atheist from New York, all right, of left-leaning persuasion, but who said, you know, as a matter of biological reality, I believe life begins at conception, and so I would rule against you know, Roe v. Wade, or however you want to put it. What would they do then?
Well,
and by the way, such beings exist.
Yes, first of all, they would fall out of their chairs. Yes. That's what they would do, but that person would never have gotten that far along.
Well,
but go ahead. You make a good point, though.
I know a great lady. She was the president of Atheists for Life. She's gone on to her eternal reward, and I pray God will be very generous. But she said to me once, she said, you know, Father, this issue is more important for me than it is for you. And I said, how can that be? I believe in eternal life. She said, that's why. She said, I don't. I believe this is the only life we have, and to be able to kill babies in the womb is to take away from them the one chance they have, and that's why I'm opposed to abortion.
Wow. Wow, it's a very... That's a powerful thought.
Very moving.
It really is. We're talking with Father Robert Sirico. He is president of the Acton Institute. We're talking about an opinion piece that he wrote in the Dallas Morning News recently, that there should be no religious test for the Supreme Court. And yet it hangs over Amy Coney Barrett like a little bit of a cloud, I would suspect. But you know, Father, that the Democrats have probably been instructed, I'm presuming this, not to bring up religion, because it doesn't work well with the public.
I think that's, you know, first of all, I've been in these hearings where religion has come up. You should have seen me with boxing with Boxer.
Barbara Boxer.
I was on her, and also Rangel years ago.
Oh, yes.
Here's the thing about these folks is they also don't know much about religion. So when they're asking these questions, the questions from a professional point of view are absurd. You know, I mean, why do I have to implement my religious tenets? I'm not sacrificing my religion to say that I'm a judge or whatever it happens to be. No, they don't want to talk about it because it doesn't play well for them, and they can't talk about it because they just aren't interested in the topic.
Really. Right. Very interesting. Yeah.
They're interested in politics.
So the other issue that Democrats are somewhat concerned about is the repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Now, that's not necessarily going to be involving religion, although, you know, the concept of contraceptives and, I guess, abortion procedures is a part of it.
It's also the whole notion of, you know, religious institutions. Remember that it was religious people who invented the institution of the hospital, right? I mean, there weren't hospitals until there were believers who believed that the infinite worth of a human being to be tended to and cared for in their vulnerability was something that inspired them to build these institutions. So we have a dog in this fight, too, especially when the amount of money that goes to religious healthcare institutions attempts to coerce them to do things that are outside their own belief system, such as abortion or contraception delivery or euthanasia or sex change operations, things like that.
Yeah, I remember the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Right.
Remember that one?
Yeah. Well, it's ongoing.
It's ongoing. And
and they keep winning.
Of course they do. If you had a group named the Little Sisters of the Poor, first
right.
of all, you've already got most of the people on your side. You know?
Right. Well, you know, but you know, the truth of the matter is society has shifted so much that motherhood, talking about motherhood is almost committing a hate crime. I don't know about apple pie. I'm sure some of the, you know, vegans would be against that. But we really have shifted the balance so that we can now attack the Little Sisters of the Poor. And by the way, they're the real thing. They really do minister to the poor and dying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you're right about the family unit. The family unit... I'm old enough to remember how, you know, I was one of eight kids. And that, you know, for Catholics, as you well know, that was normal to have a lot of kids
it's
in their family.
Kind of normal in my parish.
Exactly.
To be honest with you.
Yeah. And today, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she's got, what, five or seven children?
Seven.
Seven children.
Two adopted.
One with special needs.
Yes.
I mean, this is the perfect candidate. And normally, in any other time, Democrats or Republicans would be absolutely afraid and horrified to say anything negative. But now you can get away with it.
Very cautious with her, though, right? I mean, what must be driving them crazy is they don't have the atmospherics of the previous hearings. You know, there's nobody in there screaming and waving their white hats around and their pink hats around and stuff. So you don't have that. You have a number of the senators who are attending virtually, so it's a different dynamic. And you have this ideal candidate with seven kids, two Haitians and one special needs. What are you going to go after here? You know, you're going to have to deal with her philosophy, and that's what they don't want to deal with.
You are so right. I mean, they've got to actually deal with the philosophy, and they've got to actually deal with things that they're just not comfortable talking about.
This is the news out of this so far is that this is a remarkably restrained hearing, you know, compared to the last one.
Yeah, with Brett Kavanaugh. How could it be worse, though? You know, that was worse than a circus.
And yet, in a way, this is so much more in their minds. This is so much more apocalyptic. I mean, it is the replacement of Ginsburg. This is, you know, this is, forget about it. Even if they were in charge of it, it would be. And it's taking place this proximate to an election.
Yeah.
And it's taking place in the midst of a pandemic. I mean, it is quite dramatic. And yet, the hearings themselves so far are relatively tame.
Indeed. Father Sirico, I'm going to ask you one last question, and it's a toughie. Do you think that with Amy Coney Barrett on the bench on the Supreme Court, that there's a chance that Roe versus Wade might be overturned?
Well, of course, I'm answering that question not knowing the judge and not knowing the way in which that case would be presented to the justices, because that depends. How you rule has a lot to do with that. But what I can say is I hope so. I hope so because Roe v. Wade was poorly decided to begin with. Justice Ginsburg said that. Other legal scholars have said that. And I think it needs to be revisited, aside from the whole question of human life and needing to be protected in law. Roe v. Wade as law needs to be overturned.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you for being with us. And
great to be with you.
Yes, a real pleasure. You're a very, very intelligent and interesting person to talk with,
Father. Come see us at Acton.com.
Acton.com it is.
I'm sorry, Acton.org.
Oh, Acton.org.
We're even.
Yeah, we are, but Acton.org. Thank you, Father.
God bless.
All right, sir. There he goes, Father Robert Sirico. It is Acton, not action. All right, we are going to take our break, and when we come back, Joe Biden's turning into a gaffe machine again. Yesterday, he had two or three little whoppers. Donald Trump wows him in Sanford, Florida. We're going to talk about that and more with the proprietor of the barber, Paul Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works on Tuesday, October the 13th. And, well, Joe Biden, the gaffe machine, he brought his gaffe machine with him, apparently. He raised eyebrows yesterday for some remarks that he was making on the campaign trail. While briefly taking questions from reporters at a en route to a campaign event in Ohio, he said, you remember I got in trouble when we were running against a senator who was a Mormon, the governor, okay, I took him on. He couldn't remember Mitt Romney's name, basically. And then a little bit later, while closing his stump speech at a campaign drive-in event in Toledo, he said, you know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate.
Now, one of those two voices was mine. The other one was a sleepy Joe.
Evidently, the presidential race is now down to one and a half.
Sometimes he thinks he's running, sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah. I wish he would run for the Senate. He would lose that, too. We've got the Andrew Ceraci, the master barber here. Are we feeling sorry yet for Joe Biden, Andrew?
Paul, I felt sorry for him a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
These people are abusing him. If we were doing this to an elderly person, they'd have us arrested for elderly abuse. But the Democrats can get away with it, man.
Apparently so. Apparently.
Yeah, hey, let's face the facts. They want Kamala Harris as their president. That's why Nancy was trying to impose the 25th Amendment. She's getting ready.
Now, do you think once, if Biden wins, that maybe about 3 weeks, 4 weeks into his presidency, they would slip a little Mickey
of
into
course.
His tea or what?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
There's no question about it. He'd come out dressed up like a clown or something, saying he's going to celebrate a kid's birthday party, and it'll be it.
And that'd be the last time we'd see him.
They're going to be playing "They're Coming to Take Me Away," ha-ha. You remember that?
I do.
That's what they'll be
it's
playing.
It's kind of a weird song. It's about nuts.
Eddie should find that and start playing it for Biden.
Maybe we'll do that on our Friday show. We'll play
They're Coming to Take Me Away,
ha-ha.
Did you see yesterday something had a car rally front? There were 30 cars, okay? Now, President Trump came to Sanford yesterday.
Yes.
Was there about easy 20,000 people?
Could have been 30,000, according to one of the people, yeah.
That is what I'm saying. And, you know, the polls, Biden's 12 points ahead. Yeah, and you know what? Hey, if Biden were to pull this off, you got to say it was a miracle.
When they showed
because
the place...
It ain't going to happen.
When they showed the place... I'm not kidding. When they showed the place... That was going to be where Biden was going to hold an event in Ohio.
Yeah,
there was nothing there. They had a long shot. And I'm not kidding you. There was nothing. I mean, nothing. There was nothing. It was like a an empty parking lot. Did you see that?
It was Biden.
They had the reporter standing there with a bus behind him.
He looked naked.
And nobody.
There was nobody there.
There was a Biden rally here at Coachman Park, and there was a whole lot of Coachman Park.
Yeah, you said the other day more grass than people, didn't you?
Yeah.
In the meantime, in Sanford, Jim, our favorite media reporter, Jim Acosta, is standing there and he's talking because he indeed went over to cover the event, the Trump rally, and apparently the people behind him started screaming CNN sucks, which grew quickly louder. With more people piling on, and so Acosta says, and as this crowd is chanting that there are members of the press here who suck, I should also point out what also sucks is getting the coronavirus. So there you go.
They bring that up no matter what. No matter what. I'll do the coronavirus. I told you that the economy's bad. Wear your mask.
You know, while I was watching Trump at the Sanford rally, I must say he really looked good.
Yeah,
I mean, if you can say you're feeling good and you're not, but when you look good, and I thought he looked really healthy there. Did you not?
He's doing a phenomenal job. I've never seen nothing like it, to be honest with you. I mean, he just got out from being sick, and everybody else saw this is dying, it's fatal, you're not going to make it, the president's almost dead, we need to get the next person in line, Nancy Pelosi's ready, and here he is out.
Indeed.
Knocking him dead.
A little earlier in the show, I talked about the fact that we might not get the results from Florida the day of the election, and we may have to wait a few days. I'm a little worried about that, Andrew. What about you?
Well, you know, it's a bunch of baloney. It's all this mail-in ballot stuff. It's same thing with Bush and Gore, the Chads. They're going to look for any excuse, Paul, but the fact is it's going to be a landslide. They're not going to be able to dispute it no matter what.
Indeed. So, in fact, you and I are going to be over at the North Pinellas Republicans Club.
That's right. Sitting there. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk with a lot of people that are running and, have a good time with that. In fact, I think the show that precedes us, Good Morning Clearwater, is also going to be there. So,
that's right.
You know, from 8 until 11, we're going to do 3 hours over there, and that should be very, very interesting. You know, the energy that we see at the Trump rallies, I don't care where he goes, he gets a very enthusiastic and large crowd.
The last time I ever seen anybody energized for a president that much, I was a little kid, but I believe it might have been John Kennedy.
Yeah, John Kennedy had a special aura about him as well.
I mean, from what I remember, I was 7 years old, but I remember looking on the television, the old black and white days, and there's just crowds and massive crowds.
He
of
got huge crowds
to see with Trump. I mean, that's the only one I can say, even compared to what's going on today. That's why I'm telling you, it can't be nothing but a landslide.
Yeah, and there was something unique about Kennedy. He was a Catholic, and back then we had no Catholics that were presidents. So it was almost a curiosity about the guy. And he was very young and very charming. So, indeed, and he could speak very well. He had everything going for him. And
you know, Paul, mm-hmm. What amazes me today is that they're trying to talk about Amy Coney Barrett there with her Catholicism and her religion and this and that. I mean, why are they trying to come down on her religion, yet nobody says nothing about Ilhan Omar's religion? It's okay. I mean, if she was in there, they'd be saying they wouldn't even bring up religion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think, and I said this with Father Sirico before you came on, that I don't think the Democrats have been instructed not to bring up her Catholicism because it's a negative for them to bring it up. Because no matter what you are, if anybody brings up your religion, that's an immediate, don't do that kind of thing.
But you hear it all in the background.
Well, they're worried about they're worried about both the Roe versus Wade abortion issue and the Affordable Care Act because of handing out birth control and abortion procedures.
It's like I told you, if I was Amy Coney Barrett, when they asked me about abortion, I would have to say, "Well, wait till I'm confirmed, and then I'll let you know what I think." Roe versus Wade, yeah, that's okay. I'll let you know after I get confirmed. That's how I'd be answering all the questions, just like Joe Biden. Wait till I get elected, I'll answer you.
By the way, Joe Biden indicated, believe it or not, according to a story I've got here, if I can find it.
Yeah, I know just what you're going to say.
What? What am I going to say? Let's see. What do you think
you're
I'm going to say?
You're going to say that the people don't deserve to have an answer about the Supreme Court packing.
Well, not exactly. Actually, what I'm going to say is that Joe Biden, although he dodged the question on court packing, he said that he is not a fan of court packing. He hints that he would actually be against court packing. He doesn't want to say it one way or the other. He wants the far lefties to vote for him.
And you know, maybe you're talking about court packing. He might be hearing people saying fracking.
He might be
hearing differently than what you're saying, you know.
Well, that could
fracking,
be.
Fracking, packing sound the same.
They do, and everything is falling apart in his system, so I never thought of that.
That's right.
But he way back, like you said, he did indeed say that anybody that it was a boneheaded idea to pack the court. Back in the 80s, he said that. But yep. He said yesterday in Cincinnati, he says, never before, when the election has already begun and millions of votes already cast, has it ever been that a Supreme Court nominee was put forward? It has never happened before. And then he goes on about the court packing. He says, I want to keep focused. The president would love nothing better than to fight about whether or not I would in fact pack the court or not pack the court. Let's see. But it sounds like, you know, he's kind of a moderate that's being dragged over to the left. And he's just, I don't think he is a fan of court packing, actually.
Well, he doesn't know what he's a fan of. Mm-hmm. You got people pulling his strings. By the time AOC, Ilhan Omar, they all get done with him, he don't know which way is up and down. He doesn't know now.
Yeah.
No, that's why I'm telling you, there's going to be a big celebration on November the 4th. When Donald Trump gets reelected for another 4 years, we'll know this country is safe, it's on the right track, and we're going to be thriving again.
Do you think the polls will start to get tighter? You would think that
they're going to have the polls going with Biden right up until, just like when Hillary, when she thought she was going to win during the election. I mean, the polls are, Hillary, 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 Hillary. And all of a sudden you see people's jaws dropping as the results come in, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the same thing. The only thing is this is going to happen a lot quicker. You know, it's like I tell everybody. People don't realize it, but Hillary Clinton was 10 times the candidate that Joe Biden is, okay? She
yes.
had the people eating out of the palms of her hands. Donald Trump didn't even have a record going then yet, and he beat her.
Yes.
Now, how can anybody even think that Biden stands a chance when Donald Trump now has got a record behind him, okay? where before when he ran, he had 6% of the black vote, 15% of the Latino vote. He still won. Now he's got 38% of the black vote, 62% of the Latino vote, and I guarantee you 20 more Americans.
Wow.
20 million more Americans.
20 million
more.
That's
85,000, or 85 million this time, Paul.
Well, I tell you one thing, Andrew, my friend, you are an optimist, and I'm hoping that you are right. He certainly is going to, I think, get more of the black vote. Those that have been following any kind of economic news know that things are better off, or had been until the virus hit. And
you know, Paul, a lot of the black people I talk to are embarrassed of what is going on with Black Lives Matters, with the athletes and everything else. It's amazing, Paul. You've got one one-hundredth of a percent trying to ruin it for everybody else. That's it.
Indeed.
It's like you say, you get all the supremacists, the Black Lives Matter, you put them together. What population is that in this country? It's a nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. We're going to let these people rule us? I don't think so, Paul.
Right. Yeah, these fringe groups, you know, they get the overplay in the media is amazing. You would think that everybody is either a far-right crazy or a Black Lives Matter.
No, we're not like that.
Of course not. You're right.
Not like that, but that's what they play it up to be. But we're going to pull this off, Paul, and you watch and see. This country's going to get back on track again, and we're all going to get fat from eating.
Well, that would
Believe
be nice.
Me. Believe me.
All right. Well, Andrew, thank you so much, my friend. We will be talking again on Friday.
You got it, my friend. May Trump be with you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that very much. All right, there he goes, the master barber himself, Andrew Ceraci. Going to take our final break. And when we come back, the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control have some negative thoughts about wearing masks and lockdowns.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday. By the way, Freedom Works. We come to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. If you can't hear us live, thanks to Big Ed. All our shows are on podcast. Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click the podcast button, and there you go. You can listen to us anytime your little heart desires. Well, the Centers for Disease Control have released a report that shows that wearing masks and face coverings are not effective in preventing the spread of the virus, even for those people who consistently wear them. They did a study in July, and it found that when they compared 154 case patients who tested positive to against a control group of 160 from the same healthcare facility who were symptomatic but tested negative, over 70% of the case patients were contaminated and fell ill despite always wearing a mask. So they've said in the 14 days before the illness onset, about 71% of case patients and 74% of control participants reported always using cloth face coverings. And so basically, they were wearing a mask, they still got the virus. So how effective indeed are those masks? That's the question. Now, the World Health Organization has warned leaders against relying on the virus lockdowns, against relying on lockdowns to tackle the outbreak, after previously saying the countries should be careful about how quickly they reopen. The WHO envoy, Dr. David Nabarro, said such restrictive measures should only be treated as a last resort. Said we at WHO do not advocate lockdowns as the primary means of control of this virus. So very interesting. Masks and lockdowns. Those are kind of the two things the Democrats have been railing about. We got to have more masks. We've got to have more lockdowns. But maybe not so much. All right. Before we go to our top 10, Ed, I'm getting really excited here about the Tampa Bay Rays. They won again against Houston. I think they're playing tonight, if I'm not mistaken. They just keep playing these games, best of seven. But they're rolling along. I think I don't mean to, you know, no bad luck here. I think there's a real chance that we might get a second championship in this town. What do you think?
I think so. I think they've pretty much got their number. I think Houston isn't able to win without cheating. So.
Oh, yes. I totally forgot about the cheating. They're not able to steal the signs because if you snuck somebody into the center field bleachers, you'd be the only one there, right?
You got to remember that this year they finished the season at like 29 and 31, so they were under 500. And their record against teams with a winning record was something like 5 and 30 or something like that. Yeah, it's really bad.
So maybe the only reason they got anywhere was because they cheated.
And Oakland was basically a 500 club too. So, well, no, I'm not talking about cheating this year. I'm just saying the record this year.
Yeah. So they got in somehow.
They're playing good teams now, and you know they're getting. They made a lot of mistakes last night too.
That poor second baseman or whatever.
I don't.
He made two or three errors.
Don't feel so sorry for him. He's the guy that was wearing the apparatus. For the cheating gear last year that was stuck to his chest when he didn't want his teammates to rip his shirt off.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe.
See, a little Altuve.
Yeah. Now, what's going on in the National League?
Actually, the Braves beat the Dodgers last night.
Oh.
So they're up 1-0.
They're up 1. And the Dodgers had the best record in the Major Leagues.
Yes, they did. They did.
Going to be very. I'd love to. Oh. I'm getting excited about the Dodgers. I'm thinking the Dodgers
I think it's going to mold into exactly. And Kevin Cash, if he doesn't get manager of the year, I demand a recount.
Exactly. There's going to be something smelly going on if he doesn't get it. All right. It is time for our top 10, and we got a good one. This is from livability.com. Top 10 best places to live in America in 2020. Now, they analyzed more than 1,000 small to mid-sized cities on factors like safety, affordability, economic stability, outdoor recreation, accessibility, community engagement. And this year, they put a new metric, an opportunity score, which would determine each city's landscape of opportunity, including variables like job numbers, broadband access, and economic resilience and growth. So they got a lot of things going on. These are the top 10 best places to live in 2020 in the U.S. Number 10, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wow. Mm. Yes, indeed. Think South Dakota is boring? Think again. Sioux Falls,
full of vitality and real and zeal. Genuinely friendly people. All right, number nine. Durham, North Carolina. Durham is a cozy city teeming with opportunity located in the heart of North Carolina's research triangle. Number eight, Fargo, North Dakota. It's no secret, Fargo is thriving. Tight-knit community, often mentioned alongside its sister city, Moorhead, Minnesota, has it all. Affordable, cost of living, vibrant economy, and a family-friendly vibe. Number seven is Overland Park, Kansas. Wow. Birthplace of the talented human, everyone's imaginary BFF Paul Rudd. Oh, well. It also makes the suburbs look cool again. Number six, Asheville, North Carolina. It's known as both the world's first Foodtopian Society and Beer City, USA. Number five is Rochester, Minnesota. Have you noticed, by the way, there's a lot of Midwestern cities in here, Ed?
Yeah.
Interesting. Rochester, Minnesota. If you know the Mayo Clinic, then you know Rochester. And it's a warm, caring atmosphere for visitors and residents alike. Number four, Portland, Maine. I've been to Portland, Maine. Mm-hmm. It is pretty. It's right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Supportive business climate, incredible quality of life. Number three. Number three is Madison, Wisconsin, where the University of Wisconsin is. Sports crazy college town, the seat of the state government. Great place for millennials. Number two is Ann Arbor. That's another college town in Michigan. Perhaps best known for the Michigan Huskies, but energetic city as well. Number two.
The Michigan Wolverines.
What did I say? The Huskies?
Huskies.
You're correct, the Wolverines. All right, that was two. So here is number one. And you may have been here at to this place, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Drove through it, never stopped.
You didn't stop?
No.
Well, it's the number one best place to live.
Yeah, I mean, it's got some nice little places there, hometown businesses.
Yeah, indeed. And let's see here. Fort Collins, vibrant, growing city. It is overflowing with opportunity. Families with small children, creative people, outdoor enthusiasts. I imagine they're skiing there, right?
Yes.
High-tech entrepreneurs all feel at home in Fort Collins. By the way, it's the largest city in northern Colorado. Colorado State University is there, so that would make it rather interesting. Let's see. They say when you get there to Fort Collins, you feel connected. Hmm. All right. Thank you so much. We will be back on Friday, God willing. Always remember, freedom works.